What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Surfing for Daisy. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well,
awesome. Thanks for hopping on. Before we really get into anything, I guess just let us know what you guys have been up to. I know it's in the middle of summer. I'm sure you guys are pretty busy. Shows, recording, writing. What do you guys got going on?
Yeah, so we just finished our second album. We're in the process of mixing and mastering that. Kind of been playing some regional shows. We got a few coming up, playing Connecticut next week. Doing Milo Music Fest in Wisconsin, then to Lollapalooza in Chicago, and then doing a tour up the East Coast, Georgia, at Eddie's Attic, Nashville at the Basement,
Asheville,
yeah, for ABL Music Fest, and then Charlottesville, Virginia, at the what was the name of that one? The Southern,
yep,
yeah.
Right on. Yeah, sounds like y'all are busy then, but I mean, it's good to be busy, right?
Yes,
definitely.
Heck yeah. So just so people could get to know you, I actually was very – I saw you guys originate out of New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I am completely unfamiliar with New Jersey in general, much less their music scene. So I was wondering, like, can you kind of describe, like, what it's like up there? I'd imagine it's pretty diverse with like, what different kinds of styles, genres. Like can you guys – kind of give us a picture on what the music scene is like up there?
Yeah, I would say that a lot of it, it's actually pretty jammy up here, I would say. Like, jam band heavy.
It's the home of ska.
It is the home of ska, so there's a lot of ska bands that come through. We have, obviously, the Stone Pony. Like, being in Asbury Park, New Jersey, is, like, I would almost say, like, the capital of music on the East Coast, pretty much. But everybody at some point in time in their career, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I feel like they've come through here and have played the Stone Pony. It's one of those legendary gigs that I guess when you're wetting your feet as a new band, you come through and it's like the dream to play there. They have you could play inside, and then they also have the summer stage now too that brings in a ton of traffic. And they've had some really great bands that have played the summer stage last year. I think we had the Black Keys, Flip Turn, Rainbow Kitten, Surprise, Red Clay Strays, yeah, like just exceptional bands that have come through here. So Bruce, obviously, Bruce Springsteen, yeah. Homer Bruce Springsteen, to just shout him out, yeah, a little bit.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
We're actually in Freehold right now. We all kind of grew up here, and that's where Bruce grew
up. We grew up when Bruce is basically right down the street from where Bruce pretty much grew up. But so it's a very inclusive place, I feel like. Everybody's kind of trying to help each other out. There's a lot of great musicians, a lot of great, I wouldn't say there's a lot of, I feel like there's less songwriting happening in Asbury Park. I feel like that's something that I do take pride in with the band, that we're trying to be a little bit, we're trying to be in the Asbury scene, but also have success on the outside of it as well.
Yeah, and the Asbury Park music scene too, like you said, it's super diverse. I feel like there's not, you can't put a finger on one specific genre. It's kind of just
everywhere.
Like all over the place
everywhere, too, walking around the streets,
right.
It's
a lot of bands,
great.
A lot of different venues, which is great. You know, it's a cool community,
yes,
to kind of start in, and then we're trying to kind of expand past that.
They're very supportive. It's a very supportive place where you're for individuals that are coming that want to start out. Of course, anywhere you go, it takes a little bit of time to get your feet in there, but once you do, and it's very easy to make connections. You just really have to go out there and kind of like be social, really. Go listen to live music, and there's live music every day.
Yeah, it makes it easy.
At multiple places, 20 all the time, any season.
I'd say it's unusual, like when you like run into somebody who's never even attempted to touch a guitar in Asbury Park.
Yes.
It's like built on music.
It's built.
Everybody's.
Yes. It's the root. It's the root of Asbury Park.
I do feel like there's influence too from like New York and Philly, because we're so close. Like, it bleeds into the scene as well. So it's just like a good mix of like the nearby states. And
Yeah,
I would imagine like being in a place like Jersey and New York, like you said, like, I mean, everybody, I feel like, can go through there. I mean, it's a huge place in the country, right? And like, I feel like it would be quite the melting pot, like of everything. It's not like, well, I guess Nashville, you could say Nashville for country music, but honestly, Nashville, I mean, that has rock, rap, like that. That's a big one too. You know what I mean? So that's really cool. And you kind of touched on like how everyone like supports each other. And I've always found that whole thing interesting with any music scene, really, especially like a large place like that, is like the camaraderie aspect and the competition aspect. I'd imagine you'd have to like find that fine line in the middle. It's good to have competition, obviously, because it pushes everybody creatively. Is that kind of how it is up there at Edison?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, even though we're all working together to try to help one another, it is very motivating. And when somebody else puts a great, you know, song out, a great record, like, we're right there to support them. And it's reciprocal in nature as well. We put something out, they're right there to support us. But it is also very motivating because there is a lot of great talent coming out of Asbury. It's just so creative.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I think the biggest competition too is just with ourselves, just trying to get better and, you know, supporting those artists. And obviously there's always some friendly competition, but just pushing ourselves to be better and kind of expand regionally is kind of what drives us.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And kind of going into like your guys' sound and your style is like, it's right down my alley, because I love when groups are, you can't box them, you can't pin them down in a certain genre, a certain style, nothing like that. Like, you, like when I listen to your guys' stuff, you could tell it's you guys, but it's different. Each release is different, at least for me. And I'm wondering, I guess I could ask you to describe your sound, but I also kind of want to see, like, what are your views on like how, especially today, and I feel like any genre, any scene, the genre lines are so blurred right now, which I think is a great thing. People are trying, like, you guys are like alternative folk, kind of like you could like put it really anywhere on that spectrum. I guess first off, how would you guys describe your sound if you had to?
Oh God!
So I'd call it.
That's a broad question. I'm sorry.
We said alternative psychedelic folk rock blues.
Yeah, psychedelic.
Whatever, you can say it whatever order. The reason that is because each individual person in the band is bringing all, we all have difference of styles of music that we either were brought up on or that we listen to currently. For example, Cam, our bass player, is like a ska punk, like Blink 182. That's his Block Party. Like, those are his bands, right? Which is completely different than me, entirely. Mike is like, it took me like 2 years to make this guy listen to something other than Fish. And like, I'm just kidding. You have very much 90s rock with Steve from his father. Super inspired.
Kind of everything too.
Katie's kind of a melting pot where she listens to, I feel like you listen to a ton of different stuff, but I would say very indie, indie based. And like, I'm speaking for everybody here.
Yeah.
And Dan is, I would say, you're a melting pot, but he's also very bluesy, very jazz. So he is very interested in that. And then I have a very like folk singer songwriter, like Ben Howard, Gregory Allen Isakov, kind of artists like that, that I guess are infused in kind of the stuff that I try to write. I feel like there's always a root of folk with me, is usually how I start. So we kind of are a melting pot in itself.
Yeah, you guys are covering all the bases, like, for sure.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we kind of just, you know, Nick does the majority of the songwriting, but it's kind of just what we're feeling, you know, feels good. We're just going to try to write it and try to play it and send it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And we love doing it that way. You know, other people might disagree, but it keeps it fun. And we like a whole bunch of different music, and that's why we try to create.
Yeah, and that's why I love talking to like bands. Like if you talk to an artist, it's just like, you know, it's usually, not usually, it could all depend. They have all, well, one person is obviously going to have their influences and the stuff they like. But when you have a band, especially as big as your guys is, it's like all those things you just mentioned, it creates a new thing, a fresh new thing. You know what I mean? If that made any sense. But and I'd like to hit on the songwriting stuff too. And this is one of my favorite questions to ask, is how do you guys know when a song is finished? Is there an alarm that goes off in your head? Is it just like I feel like it's easy to overdo a song sometimes, you know, I would assume. Maybe it's also easy to be like, man, we didn't do enough with this song. Like, is there a certain like buzzer in your brain that goes like, okay, this is good?
I think it's when we stop talking about, I feel like it's
never.
It's pretty much never.
Honestly, yeah, we're still, there's still songs we put out that I swear to God, we're still not done with. That's what the live setting is for. So you can expand on that in the live setting. You could change it up 1,000 times in the live setting. The recording is great. It's good. And then when you go play live, you can always try different stuff. We're never really, we treat it like a football play, or at least I treat it like a football play, or like watching football highlights where I'll listen back and I'll be like, okay, I really liked that. I mean, this could be a year later. I'm like, oh, I really liked that. Oh, that was kind of different. Let's try to do that now. Like, cause we improvise a lot of stuff sometimes. Like, very rarely do Dan and Mike, for example, with their guitar solos, I would say, even though the root of their guitar solos are probably the same, I would say you guys improvise a lot of your stuff still, where not everything is like, they probably don't play the same solo twice at the same time. There's always something kind of like different or intricate about it. But yeah, I would say it's really hard to tell, but I think we're never really done.
It's different for every song too. So a lot of these songs, you know, Nick's had for a while, and we played them for a while, especially some of these on even the new album. And a few of them, it was like Nick brought it to us, and the first time we played it, like, that was the song.
Yeah.
So it just depends. There's songs that we've spent a year and a half tweaking, and there's songs that was first try, that was the song. So it kind of all just depends. And sometimes we just make some magic, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of spoke on, like, the live setting, too. Do you guys ever, like, write and, like, record, like, with the live element in mind, like the forefront, like, we're going to write this to play live, if that makes sense? Or do you write it, or do you play a lot, like, and vice versa? Like, do you write it like with the live setting, like how it's going to sound on stage in mind, or do you really even think of that kind of thing?
We try to. So the whole first album is actually live, technically. We did a couple of overdubs in there with keys and certain things, but that was, we were trying to make it like that. And then it's just, so the studio, I don't think it matters. The studio just has a sterile nature to it, some extent. I think what we've realized is we're probably never going to really get it the way that we actually want to live in the studio, but we try our hardest going into the studio to make it as intense as we can to replicate like the live sound.
I think the direction that we've kind of gone in is not heavier, but more upbeat. And that definitely has like the live impact in mind. Just, it's just kind of how it goes with live. We love to play a lot of the softer songs. We love those just as much, but for, you know, try to just keep the party going live. That's kind of where we've, I feel like, either unintentionally or intentionally kind of veered towards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as a fan and a listener, like, I've always thought of, the live experience to me is like the most important part, because that's what makes new fans, I'd imagine. Like, I could stumble into a club and see like my new favorite band and not even know it, and like it keeps fans coming back. Is that kind of like how you guys view that too, I guess?
I would say yeah. When we play live, we we try to leave everything we have on the stage. And I think that is what makes people come back, because they see how passionate we are on stage. We really don't hold anything back at all, and we play with probably as much energy. Like, when I get off the stage, I feel like I ran a marathon. I feel like I don't have any energy left. So it's always, I'm always happy in that sense, because I'm like, okay, I played as hard as I could.
We just love playing live. Like, we're just a live band. Yeah. You know, that's just where we have the most fun and just feels like home to us, which, you know, a lot of these songs we were playing live before we've tracked them. And it's just kind of how we write too, is like, we figure it out just playing them live, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
What is life about the time between the gigs?
Right. And to keep on the topic of like writing and everything, and your guys is like, as a group, your creative process, I'd imagine when you first started writing songs, there might have been like you watching your peers do it, and you might have like a template in mind on a certain way you need to write, which obviously as you go on, I'd imagine it's that template kind of just fades away. And it's like, we do it, like I write how I write. Was that your guys's case? Did you find it like that? Or was it always just like grassroots, natural, falls into our lap kind of thing? Because I imagine there'd be some rules, songwriting rules, that you guys ditch over time because there's not a real set way to do it. You know, how do you guys navigate that whole thing?
I think for me, since I'm taking a lot of it, I'll write a lot like on my own internally. And then when I bring it to everybody, then we kind of write everything, the rest of it together. So I now try to keep the rest of everybody else in mind rather than how I used to do it, where I would be, it was all just so stripped down and just solo acoustic. But I try to really, really, like I'll hum melodies for Mike or for other people. I didn't used to do that. I'm thinking of drum ideas that might be good and space for Steve to, you know, do some certain stuff. I'm thinking of textural stuff for Katie to do on the keys and whatnot. I never used to really do that because my songwriting was really just all internal and solo. So I did have to kind of strip myself away a little bit. And I think that's why we've done our songs. And especially when we play live, it's very textural. Because everybody has a place in the song, which was a challenge for me, but also when I brought it to everybody else, I mean, they just kind of like blossom it all. They always blossom it because they have their own ideas also. So that was really a really cool experience to have, I guess, in my songwriting process.
And I think Nick's songwriting is super unique, but at the same time, like everything he brings to us is like very consumable. Like that just makes sense. And that's why we kind of like play. You just have like a very, you know how a song should progress. And, you know, like you said, a lot of our songs get a little quirky. We're doing things that probably shouldn't be done, but that's what rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah,
and I just think like you have a very like strong knack for like how a song should flow naturally.
Yeah,
and it almost comes like second nature to him. So
we just make it to the end on the first try,
and then we tweak it. Yeah,
exactly. And we're getting better better over time, with the whole process of it as well.
Yeah. And I guess I probably should ask you guys this earlier, but when you guys, I guess, earlier in your guys's career, like when you first formed, maybe was it easy to kind of gel and knock creative ideas off each other? Like I feel like, you know, when you start a band, it might be kind of hard to get everyone's input in at once and be able to gel like that right off the bat. Like how was your guys' experience with that?
For me, at least, it was like instantaneous. We never had any, so weirdly to say, but like, because I feel like it's kind of rare. We all were just kind of on the same page in the beginning. Everybody's voice is pretty much heard and everybody's just kind of aligned for the most part.
We first started too. We were doing a lot more like acoustic shows, stripped down shows.
Yeah.
We play on Nick's porch a lot. So I had a cajon. So a lot of the writing that you did was just like us, acoustic guitars, some battery amps and a cajon, which kind of like made the first album kind of influence the way that it sounded. And then this next album, you know, we strayed away from that a little bit. But I think that influences the way that we kind of wrote some of these, both of these albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like when I listen to your guys' stuff, like you could tell like the chemistry's there for sure. And I also was wondering, because what I love what bands do is, like I said earlier, like they could, With each release, it could be a new sound, a new kind of style, something they're trying out. And the experimentation that bands do is just so interesting to me. I always want to pick your guys' brains on how ideas get to another step, another, like it progresses, you know. And I've always thought that groups that are able to do that and still sound like themselves is like they're the ones who have the juice, you know, who really have clicked. And do you guys find yourselves like experimenting a lot? Like like we want to try this and that. And is it like kind of forced? Is it kind of hard to come by that sometimes? Or is it pretty natural? Like we were saying, does it flow pretty easily?
I would say a lot of the experimenting like starts in the studio setting, to be honest, at least for me, like personally, when we get to the studio and I get to hear each part like individually for my own like tones and sounds, like it's just been eye-opening to see like what I could come up with on the spot and like building sound just from like one little thing I found on the synth or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's build on that. But yeah, it's cool that it starts as like Nick's idea or just one simple idea. And then this experimenting happens for me and for a lot of us in the studio. And then it like forms something completely different than what it started with. So
yes,
that's kind of been my experience.
That is true.
Yeah.
Kind of just let, you know, the songs naturally blossom the way the song chooses almost.
Yeah.
Kind of just go off a feel and, you know, kind of let it guide us and, you know, We know pretty quickly when it feels right.
Yeah.
There's six of us, so we just run it three times and eventually it starts to come together.
Yeah.
We are pretty experimental in our approach, I think, though.
Yeah.
We're always trying to, like, you know, challenge ourselves. And, I mean, we obviously know it's probably going to challenge the listener, too. We just, you know, we trust the process and trust the listeners and just like, cause you're right. You made a valid point. There's still in the underlying like themes of the song is still the root of kind of where we started and how we start, I guess.
Yep. Yep. And I love that. And I've also like, I always wondered with, this is kind of a cliche question, so buckle up. But so like when it comes to like connecting with fans, I would imagine that it has to feel pretty good when a complete stranger at a show is like, this song means so much to me. This song, I felt this when I heard you play that. And songs for artists, I'd imagine they're so personal. They're your art, they're your story you're telling. And then to have that relate to someone who you've never met, like is that just kind of run me through, like, how does that feel to you guys when you encounter someone like that?
It's a really great feeling because no matter what, I think songwriters are writing, of course, for themselves. And, you know, it's a lot of it is a very internal thing, but nobody out there is ever going to say, you know, like, oh man, like, they feel this way about my song. Of course, if it's good. But like, I'm always pretty enamored by people's thoughts and feelings. I'm also very surprised sometimes by the songs that individuals do like. I tend to see that a lot of people like some of the songs that, I mean, we're still a very new band. We haven't been doing it for very long. We're still like rapidly growing. So it doesn't happen all the time. But when it does, I am very surprised to see that there's songs that are not like our biggest songs, which makes me realize that, wow, they're really not only like listening to, you know, our bigger songs, they're really diving into the whole catalog. And that is the thing that I'm most proud of. I think that we all probably are most proud of, because there's a lot of people out there, they don't really listen to full albums as much anymore. It's not as we do, but it's not as much of a thing as it used to be. So that's a really cool thing to have somebody pull like a straight B-side off of the first record and they know all the words and lyrics, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, we don't even play this live. but I really appreciate it. I know, I think we all really appreciate it.
Yeah, and, totally.
You know, it could be, it's an emotional thing as well. When you connect with somebody like that. And that's a driving factor to, I think, why we're still trying to do what we're doing here.
Yeah, it's also, you know, super cool when someone maybe has a song means something that's totally different than what Nick intended it to mean for his personal writing, or it might mean something completely different to me. And I think that's always super cool. It's just like the beauty of music, to be able to, you know, touch people in different ways. I think it's really cool.
Absolutely. And you hit on something there, about the, people don't listen to albums really much anymore. That's just not how things are going nowadays, and which is a shame, you know. I think it is, but that's where we are. So kind of going off that, with like it being such like a single dominated thing now, and that also with social media being important now, the TikToks, all that stuff is like, you know, so huge now, and streaming, things have evolved in that way. And I guess quite simply, like how do you guys fare with that? I know I hate it, and I have a fucking podcast. Like it's tough sometimes, but like you got to do it. It's fun sometimes. Sometimes it's a burnout. How do you guys deal with that kind of thing where we are now with that being so important?
I mean, I think we don't really have a choice, you know. It's, if you want to grow, like we've been doing it since the first album rolling out. The first album, I think we rolled out 9 out of the 13 songs were singles. And then this album, our 5th single's coming out on Friday. That'll be the last one before the album. But you just got to play that game. And, you know, as far as the content goes, we try to have fun with it and try not to, you know, take it too seriously and make it, like, enjoyable as possible for us. Yeah. You know, that's just kind of just where it is. It's like 20 years ago, you needed a label and you didn't have to do this. So I would take where we're at now, just, like, put in the work and be able to, you know, someone came to our show in New Jersey 2 weeks ago and they were from the UK. Like, we would never have been able to do that back in the day, but because of where social's at and, you know, running ads and all that stuff, they were able to see us, be, you know, were exposed to our music, and they flew out and came to a show. So like, that's super cool. Yeah. I think it's almost easier. Still has its challenges, but yeah, for that reason, I think it's better.
I think it's definitely, I agree with you on that. I think it's also kind of a blessing and a curse. Like you were saying, the burnout is real. The comparison is real. I'm super guilty of it. I'm like, well, isn't our stuff as good as that? Why is this slop? Like, what is this slop here? And I'm like, mm-hmm. We're old school in that sense where we're just like, what the hell is going on? But then we realize that we have to be malleable and we just have to adjust. We're not shooting for virality. We know that we're not, that's not really what we are as a band. It just is what it is. So you might as well just have fun and be consistent. Steve says it all the time. It's chasing virality is just, if you chase virality, you're always going to be disappointed. You can't, because you can't control it. Right. But you can control
showing up, being consistent,
your consistency,
yeah, output.
And no matter what happens, we get, you know, 4,000 views or 480,000 views. Like, it's at the end of the day, even if you have one person comment, that's a new person that comes to a show, you are gaining something out of it at the end of the day.
The world better.
I think we're all just burdened by the fact that we think that we need to go viral. Will it help? I mean, damn straight it will help. It absolutely will help. But I think we have to do it as a tool, but we can't let it control, you know, how we treat what we're doing here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And let's talk a bit about, you guys have been, we've been talking about it kind of throughout this, but just to circle back on what you guys might have coming down the pipe and what we could expect here coming out soon. Your last single, that was the first thing I heard from you guys was Hot Blood. And it was, man, it was quite a treat to go back and listen to everything that you've had since, and definitely one of the my favorite discoveries of this year was your guys' music. Also, shout out Candace, she's my buddy, and she's one who also recommended you guys to us. But tell us what we could expect with music wise. You guys went over your shows earlier too. What do we got coming down the pipe?
Yeah, so we got a new single coming out Friday called Methamphetamine. It'll be the 5th and final single off the album. Trying to get the album sorted. Should be out. We're hoping for like October. We're doing a little tour that I mentioned before. We're playing Westport, Connecticut, 11 Pavilion, July 23rd. Then we go to Wisconsin, July 30th to August 1st for Mile of Music. Lollapalooza, August 2nd. Decatur, Georgia at Eddie's Attic, August 4th. Then we go to Nashville at the Basement, August 6th, August 7th. We're in Asheville, North Carolina for the AVL Sounds Fest at Asheville Music Hall. August 8th, we're in Charlottesville, Virginia. That's at keep forgetting this one, the Southern, yeah. Southern. And fly out to California August 15th, Camino, California, for Folk on the Farm at Delfino Farms. We got another tour for November getting announced. Should announce it next week. We're hitting some, going back to Chicago. Got another New York show, Boston. Detroit.
Yep. We're going all over the place. And this was the goal from the beginning, was to really get out of, course, we love Asbury Park, but your success can't just stay in Asbury. Like, you trying to build success, if you just stayed in Asbury Park, it's not going to happen. You're putting a ceiling pretty much on your house right there. But like, it's a goal of us to get out of Asbury, and I think we're really, really hitting it this year and the beginning of next year. So we're super excited. I think we're on track with kind of like where we wanted to be at that time. So.
Yeah.
Lollapalooza is obviously going to be the huge one. That's a big
deal. That's big. That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah, we'll be at the BMI stage at 2:10 Sunday, August 2nd.
Lollapalooza. Yeah. So it'll be good.
Well, yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what you guys have in store and watching you guys. I know it's all, like I said, I'm a fairly new fan, but have been able to kind of go back and see like how far you guys have come. It's been really cool to see. And also, where could people find you? Just Surfing for Daisy on everything, socials, website.
Yeah, exactly. Surfingfordaisy.com. Socials all Surfing for Daisy, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We got a Twitter. Yeah. No, we don't update it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we got X chicks.
Oh, yeah. But guys, thank you so much for hopping on. This was a fun one. I'm glad we could make this happen. So everyone listening, make sure to check them out. It's totally worth it. It's, like I said, some of the best stuff I've heard in a long time. And also check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us. You'll find us. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you guys for hopping on. And we'll see you guys next time.
Awesome. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby,